This is Talk Back Gardening with Deb Tribe and Sophie Thompson.
On 891, ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Back Gardening. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning, Deb. Beautiful day to be out in the garden.
It certainly is, but also a nice day to be tending your indoor plants. And we have seen a real explosion in popularity of indoor plants recently. Some people have got the one or two. Some people have got a literal jungle inside their homes. How are you, Sophie? Do you have many indoor plants because you spend so much time outside?
I actually have more than 100 indoor plants, and it is an obsession, but I'd say it's a healthy obsession because it makes your house healthy and feel alive, and it brings the garden from outside in.
That's right. So you can enjoy all of the benefits, and there are many of them. I'm going to ask our special guest about them in just a moment. But this morning we are talking indoor plants, and we'll introduce our special guest in a moment, Tammy Huynh, who is an award-winning horticulturalist and ABC Gardening Australia presenter, a colleague of Sophie's and author of a new book called The Plant Book, The Ultimate Guide to Thriving Houseplants. And you will have an opportunity to win that book because we are also going to be announcing a photographic competition as well. So stay tuned for the details of that. I have a couple of ABC Gardening magazines to give away later in the program, as usual, one by phone and one by text. But if you have an indoor plant question, call with that now on 1300 222 891. You'll get to speak to Sophie and Tammy. And if you'd like to make a comment, we love your texts on 0467 922 891. Right now, let's introduce our very special guest, Tammy Huynh. You would know her if you're a Gardening Australia fan. She's a presenter, an award-winning horticulturalist and an author. As I said, the new book is The Plant Book, The Ultimate Guide to Thriving Houseplants. Tammy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Deb. Morning, Sophie.
Morning, Tammy. Great to have you join us and very exciting to be talking about your new book.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here too and discussing indoor plants on a beautiful Saturday morning.
Yeah, well, look, we are seeing a real explosion in popularity of indoor plants. I can remember when I was a young child and macrame was the big thing, that there were quite a lot of indoor plants then. Then it seemed to drop off in popularity, but it's coming back with a vengeance. So, Tammy, what are some of the benefits to us, to our homes, from having indoor plants?
I mean, I think like Sophie said, it brings the indoors alive. And I think we needed that more than ever, especially during COVID, when, you know, we're all stuck indoors staring at these four walls and, you know, missing that connection with nature. So, and we also had a lot of disposable income. So we went buying plants, and it really just makes us, I think, connected to nature, which also helps ground us. You know, we're busier than ever. We're scrolling, we're on our computers, we're just incredibly busy. And so I think having indoor plants inside helps us remind us, hey, like, just slow down, like, you know, take the time to nurture and care for something else that will grow and flourish right before your eyes.
That's right. And there is a real satisfaction in nurturing a plant, the same satisfaction we feel outside. You know, you plant something, you watch it grow, you tend it, you feed it, and you get the benefit of its gorgeous growth as well. And other people get to benefit. But we have been talking about for many years the evidence-based research that just goes to show how important greenery is to our mental health as well.
Yes, it's huge. And I think there's been lots of studies. I know there's, I think it was Melbourne Uni that did one. And it actually looked at how many plants you need in a room to actually boost your happiness. And I think in a small, maybe like 3x3 room, at least 5 plants was the minimum. And then obviously you could continue to add to that to even boost it even more. But yeah, there's a real, I think, benefit for our mental health in just, yeah, nurturing, but also just surrounding ourselves and being able to look at that greenery.
Absolutely. And it's not only the mental health, it's the fact that it cleans the air. We live in these houses with all this sort of new furniture with all sorts of what they call VOCs, volatile chemicals that aren't good for our health. And that same number, 5 plants in a room will clean the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and like, you know, that new house smell, I think I used to love like that new car smell, but actually now I realize it's really bad for you. And all those volatile organic compounds is what those plants can actually, you know, remove from the air. So I think it's like things like benzene, What was it also? On lots of, you know, complicated scientific names, but it can actually remove from the air. And it's, I think it's the interaction between the soil and the plant. So it's not just the plants themselves, but yeah, it's an amazing thing that having plants in your home can do.
Absolutely.
If you would like to talk to Tammy and Sophie, if you are an indoor plant parent and you'd like some advice, call in now on 1300 222 891. Jump in the queue. We'll talk to Hannah in just a moment. Sorry to interrupt there, Soph.
You're right. Now, one of the things I was going to say, though, is that, you know, gardening is meant to be therapeutic and make you feel good. But I must admit, I've met a number of people over the years, and myself included, and one of my daughters who's addicted to indoor plants, who gets a bit stressed when things go wrong, because often we can actually kill our indoor plants with kindness, or, well, we think we're being kind. Isn't that right, Tammy?
Absolutely. And I think that that's when we're taking that nurturing a little bit too far, because we constantly see these plants. So, I think also with the rise of social media and plants on there, we're looking for, you know, perfectionism. You know, we don't want a blemish on a leaf. That means there's something wrong. Like, why doesn't my plant, you know, look all green and you know, it, why isn't it thriving and lush like everyone else is on, you know, Instagram and Facebook? So we can get a little bit carried away there, and with the nurturing and then wanting to feed and wanting to do more, because we're like, it needs to be perfect.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think some people aren't aware of is, because of the indoor plant boom, there's all these special indoor plants. And, you know, if you go to the nursery or garden centre, you might see a small plant, go, oh, that's really pretty. It's got a variegated leaf. It's got splashes of white on it, and go to pick it up. And it might be $250 for a tiny little plant. And then you go, if, you know, I don't trust myself with that.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, a lot of those prices have come down. There are still those sort of prices floating around out there, but we're a lot more accessible. Things that have been tissue cultured, so we're you know, nurseries are now, I guess, flooded with them. So now you can, you know, try, you know what, $30 is okay if I, you know, make a mistake, but yeah, it hurts when you make a $200 one.
Absolutely. So now, Deb, we've got, I know we've got a caller on the line already about probably the biggest threat to indoor plants, and it's the sort of thing that even me reading it on the screen, I think I've had some stress hormones flow through me. The name mealybug, those little white critters that look like a Slater that's been through a Cotmore factory, and when you get them on your indoor plants, oh no.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. Hannah in Yankalilla, good morning to you.
Good morning, Deb and Sophie and Tammy. Yes, I've got a lovely, I'm sitting out here at the moment, my lovely north-facing sunroom, and I'm surrounded by 35 or so plants, and most are growing really well. I was given a Boston fern, and it came with an extra gift of mealybug.
And kind of them.
It sort of got out of control, so I cleaned the whole room out. I got rid of all my plants. I waited 3 years.
Oh,
reintroduced plants, and guess what? I've got mealybug. The maiden hairs were so bad. I've tried several different chemicals, and I'm highly sensitive to chemicals, so I don't like them. But I took the maiden hairs outside, and I firebombed them and burnt them up. And that got rid of the mealybug, and I've left them outside under shade. But I really, they grow so beautifully inside. I want them inside. The syngoniums are also really badly affected. They don't seem to touch the cane begonias or the philodendrons. Mm-hmm. And I'm at a total loss as to what to do.
Yeah, Tammy, far away.
It can be difficult, especially with ferns, because they're so sensitive to any sorts of sprays as well, any sorts of oil-based or even insecticidal soap. But I find that helps a little bit better anyway. At least I find Boston ferns, they're a bit more tolerant of it, but even then they can still a little bit of foliar damage, but they typically grow back anyway. Yeah, it's really annoying with ferns, but it's a great thing that you were able to persist and reintroduce. I think there are chemicals available out there that could help, because they work systemically, but a lot of them are banned from stores now, which is a good thing. I find for indoors, they're probably the ones that would be the most effective, because you don't need to contact the pest for it to be actually then for it to work, whereas a lot of the sprays you do. And again, like I said, ferns, very sensitive to sprays. Yeah, so, I've also seen people get like very close, and this can be a little bit tedious, but dot the mealybug with like the rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, I've done that.
Oh my God,
you've done it all.
I've tried neem oil. I've tried bug. No more bugs. I used to have access to Confidor before it was taken off the market. And that seemed to help as much as anything, but I've run out of that and can't get any more. So, yeah, I just don't know what to use.
Tammy, when mealybug gets into the root system of a plant, have you ever sort of knocked all the soil off? Because sometimes if it's really bad, it's down the soil. Have you ever knocked all the soil off and maybe not with ferns, but with other plants, given them a little wash in you know, a bucket with a bit of neem or insecticidal soap spray in it or something?
Yeah, I find if I really want to keep the plant and, you know, I've exhausted most of the options, then it's like, let's try, like, just, you know, get rid of all the soil and try and start afresh, at least give it a new environment, and hopefully then it can help, it can come back. And giving it some lots of, seaweed things to help it just build that resilience has often helped as well.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
it's a really tricky one. Mealybug loves dry, dusty conditions, and obviously inside, you know, it tends to be dry, dusty conditions. So, apologies. There's no magic wand, Hannah.
And just on that, Hannah, and can I put this, please, to Sophie Thompson, our regular Saturday Talkback gardener, and Tammy Huynh, who is joining us for a very special two-for-one indoor plant conversation. This texter says, a few drops of tea tree oil on the soil once in a while keeps away a lot of bugs. What's your view on that?
I personally haven't heard of that.
I haven't heard of it either.
If tea tree oil, I mean, that's something that's simple and you can get anywhere. I mean, it's certainly worth a try.
There you go, Hannah. Absolutely. You might want to give that one a go. You seem to have tried everything else.
Yeah, I do have some tea tree oil, so I'll give that a go. But could I also say thank you to Sophie, the advice about the golden ash tree I rang a couple of weeks ago that it had been attacked by corellas and wasn't looking so good. I took your advice. I absolutely soaked it and gave it masses of sea salt. I thought I'd wait 2 weeks and see what's happened, and it's all shooting out now. So thank you.
Oh, yay. Okay, so just keep on with it. Don't let it stress now.
Great.
Good on you, Hannah. No.
We love a good news story on Talkback Gardening. Thank you very much, Hannah. And just on that new car smell, Andrew says the CSIRO have said that new car smell, which is synthetics leaching out of the interior, are toxic for the first 12 months and advises us to drive with our windows down. Gee, lucky I do that.
How
anyway.
Bad is that?
Yeah, it is. It's terrible. So anyone that says they like new car smell, we need to disabuse them of that one immediately. Now, Serena is in Clapham. Now, you've got a string of pearls, Serena. Can you describe what that is for people who are listening?
Yeah, good morning, ladies. So virtually it's a drooping plant with ball, like I, you know, they're either pea-size balls of greenery that string down.
Yeah, they're little succulent pearls. Well, I mean, they look like pearls, hence the string of pearls name.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm just looking for some tips on how to keep them healthy and alive.
Inside.
Yeah. Inside. Yes, please.
Tammy, what would you say?
Do you have one at the moment, or are you just looking to buy one because it looks pretty and you want to keep it indoors?
No, I got given one as a gift. It'll be two Christmases ago. And
oh, lovely.
Yeah, however, they're looking very dried and shriveled, and I'm just wondering whether I can rescue it or I need to replace it, please.
No, they are quite resilient. I've left some outside and in, you know, not the best spots because, you know, I took them outside to give them a good drink with other plants and then forgot about them. It happens. But they, you know, they did shrivel up a little bit, but they did bounce back once they were in the best position. So making sure that you do give them a spot with lots of bright indirect light. So when I say bright indirect, I know it sounds a bit confusing, but you want a room that has lots of sunshine coming through, but you don't want the sun rays just sitting right on the plant. But in the morning, that's fine because that gentle morning sun is absolutely fine. Like, we all love sitting in it. But in the afternoon, you want to avoid that because then it's too hot and it dries out and it can also burn the foliage as well. It also helps. It also dries out the plant a lot more, so then you'd have to be watering a lot more than you would normally. So making sure that bright indirect light, that's a sweet spot for most plants, like the string of pearls. And what else is there? Watering, you know, just when the potting mix is near dry. And that can really depend on what your home conditions are like. If you've got the aircon on or the windows always open, then that will dry it out a lot faster. So if you're unsure, always just test the potting mix first. And that's just sticking your index finger into the soil and seeing if it's moist or dry. If it's dry, then give it a good drink and making sure that water runs through the bottom of the drainage holes. And then if it's moist, you can leave it for a few days and then test it again.
And Tammy, you can also, you know, while string of pearls, it can be as an indoor plant, ultimately, I think they might even be better as an outdoor plant if you've got a patio or veranda or something like that, because, you know, if it's not thriving in that position because maybe you haven't got the right light conditions, they're actually quite hardy outside in a semi-shaded position, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. I mean, they love it. I mean, I should also preface this, like, there is no such thing as an indoor plant. All these plants are, you know, the ones that we grow in our homes, they're better adapted to growing indoors, but plants would much prefer to be outside with the elements.
Okay, great. So there's no need to fertilise?
Oh, you can feed, but just I find a weak solution rather than what the typical dose says. So say they do, I don't know, what is it, a one cap or two caps, I would halve that or even quarter it. And you could do that probably a bit more regularly. But I find I've left mine for a little while and it still flourishes. So it's not something that is very hungry.
Okay. Great.
All right. Well, so, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Serena. I really appreciate the call. And just in relation to that, a beautiful picture has been sent through. This is my favourite string of heart, it says, but I think it might be a string of pearls cutting from my late grandmother's. It's at least 5 metres long.
Wow.
And it's draped up above the doorway across the wall, which looks fantastic. And coming back to the issue of mealybugs, Chaz at Aldinga says, potassium soap spray, Natra soap or Nature's Way works well on mealybug if you catch it early. Low toxicity, it's just soap. So where do you stand on that one, Tammy and Sophie?
That one I find still
product.
Ferns, it certainly is. I find ferns can be still a little bit sensitive, but, I mean, certainly worth a try. If you've thrown everything at it, then it's certainly worthwhile.
Yes, fantastic. We have got Sophie Thompson, our regular Saturday Talkback gardener, and our special guest, a Gardening Australia colleague of Sophie's and presenter and author of the plant book, The Ultimate Guide to Thriving Houseplants, which we're going to hear about in just a moment. Tammy Huynh joining us. If you've got an indoor garden, indoor plant question, please call in now 1300 222 891, and stay tuned for the announcement of our new photographic competition that we would love you to enter.
This is Talkback Gardening with Deb Tribe and Sophie Thompson
on 891 ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
We are talking indoor plants this morning. We're about to launch a new photographic competition about them. Jordan at Golden Grove says, I love it. Both Sophie Thompson and Tammy Huynh advocating for sticking your fingers in the soil to test if it's wet enough. That is the best way. Thank you, Jordan. If I could just throw a couple of quick questions before we speak to Judith. Helen asks, do indoor plants encourage or harbour mosquitoes, Tammy?
Not that I know of. So unless you're flooding your plants and you've got stagnant water just sitting there, I can't imagine that it would actually encourage mosquitoes, not that I've seen.
Okay. And Jenny asks, could you recommend indoor plants for lower light rooms? And you did say just a moment ago that plants are plants. They love their light and they are really just adapted for indoors. They're not out indoor plants as such. So if you've got a lower light room, is there any recommendation?
Yeah, there's definitely still plants that will survive in those conditions. And I have to make that distinction, survive, not thrive. So they're not going to be seeing plants are going to be pushing out lots of new growth because they're basically trying to survive with what little light they have. But there are ones that do it really well, like the ZZ plant, the Zamioculcus zamifolia. That one does it really well, and it's got these beautiful glossy little leaves on these long arching stems. So that's always a good one. Peace lilies, I find they also do pretty well. They tend to look a little bit sparse after a little while, and they don't typically flower. But you know, if you want some greenery, that in a lower light room, that can work. But I think the best thing to do is, if you have low light rooms or rooms with no light, is actually invest in a grow light. So there's lots of different options available now, and they're not super expensive, so very accessible now, and that will basically turn your room into a spot where you can grow lots of different indoor plants.
Fantastic. Now, Judith has called from Walkerville on mealybugs as well. Hello, Judith.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you and to listen to you. What our family have always done, if there was mealybugs in a pot plant, was to actually put a mothball in the pot plant and to actually paint the mealybug, just touch it with a dab of methylated spirits with a child's paintbrush.
And you had good success with that,
very
Judith?
Effectively. Well, once you've killed off the mealybug that's eating everything with the methylated spirits, you win.
Okay. Well, thank you, Judith. But is it naphthalene that's in the mothballs, Sophie? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I've never heard of mothballs being used. They're not particularly good for us either, I don't think. So I tend to avoid things like that. But I've certainly heard of meths, and people also get things like a cotton wool bud and get methylated spirits. And that's great if you see the mealybug above the ground. It's when you get a bad case of mealybug and it goes down into the roots that you might need to knock the soil off and make sure that you treat it above and below the ground, don't you think, Tammy?
Yeah, no, that's a good tactic, Soph.
And how about diatomaceous earth for mealybug indoors, asks another listener.
That would
great
work.
Alternatives.
Yeah, that's an abrasive. But, you know, you do diatomaceous earth, you want to use, you don't want to breathe it in, so you might take your plant out, dust it, you know, I do use that for other insect pests outside. At the moment, touch wood, I haven't got mealybug on any of my indoor plants, so next time I do, which hopefully I don't, I'll try that.
Okay, well, lovely. And thank you for people sending through lovely pictures. And, you know, you may want to reframe them and resend them when you hear about our competition. Lynn says, my only indoor plant, not sure what it is, but it's been there for 3 years, looking very healthy and glossy, which is lovely. And friends gave me a butterfly plant in 1986. It's still going strong today. Water weekly and occasionally fertilised, says Judith. Absolutely stunning. So thank you for sending that through as well. Last one I'm going to read out on mealybug. Turmeric on the soil helps with scale and mealybug. So you've got a plethora of different things to try this morning. Now, Becky is on the line from Merino. Now, you've got the bird of paradise indoors, Becky. Good morning.
I do. Yeah, I bought it from an indoor plant shop probably about 6 years ago, I reckon. It's a Strelitzia nicolai.
A giant bird of paradise, gorgeous.
Yes, yeah, and it's gone bunta. So, I mean, you know, we live right on the coast front, so it's really, like, gets very windy outside, so we don't have much of a outdoor garden, but I've got some lovely plants indoors. So it's as high as the ceiling. We've repotted it a few times, and it's probably been about 2 years since we repotted. Last time we took it outside, I don't think there's any way we're going to get it outside again, but because it's just too big. And it's kind of growing in three clumps. And I'm wondering, I mean, the pot's about 45 centimetres diameter. If I'm repotting it, should I divide the clumps? How does that look once you get them out of the pot? But yeah, I know that's not always done as an indoor plant. And but it is I bought it at a specialised indoor plant shop, and it's really loving it.
So any advice for Becky, Tammy?
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly, I mean, I've won. Well done on growing it so large. You must have lots of light coming through. And for also the clumps to have developed so that you could actually divide them. And you can, if especially because it sounds like it's just going to be, you want it to keep growing indoors because you probably can't get it outdoors. You can certainly divide them. Just know it probably won't look as lush as it does now just because you have divided them. But obviously you've got the right conditions. So in time, it will certainly put on that growth for you. And, you know, you will have three birds of paradise, you know, to decorate with.
Okay, well, good luck with that, Becky. Thank you so much for joining us. It sounds amazing. I was wondering if they were indoors, but too beautiful. And Strelitzia Nicolai, I'll know what to get Nicolai Balhartz for his birthday. Now, what we want to do is launch our new photographic competition. So it's our first one for the year, probably our last one for 2025. And whether it's a single plant or an indoor jungle that you have at home, we want the one best photograph of your indoor greenery, and you just need to send it in to us to the Indoor Jungle Photographic Competition. You need to go online to find out the details of how to do that. But the best photograph is going to win Tammy Huynh's beautiful book, The Plant Book, The Ultimate Guide to Thriving Houseplants. Tammy, can you tell us what you cover in the book, please?
Yeah, so one of the main things that I wanted to focus on was actually troubleshooting. So a lot of the questions that we've got today, because that's what we often get asked, isn't it, Soph? Like, what's wrong with my plant? How can I fix it? So I wanted to make sure that we covered that, and there are flow charts that you can work through to help you confidently diagnose what's wrong with your plant, and then there's going to be solutions as well. But there's also 50 indoor plant profiles. So lots of care advice on how to look after, you know, top 50 indoor plants. And there's also common problems with each one that I've come across as well. And then, of course, a whole houseplant chapter on just caring for your houseplant. So things like your light, your potting mixes, your fertilizers, watering, all the things you need to know to care for your indoor plants.
Well, it's a beautiful tome, Tammy Huynh, and thank you very much for joining us and giving advice on indoor plants this morning with Sophie. We really appreciate your time and donating this beautiful book for our listeners in this competition.
Good luck to everyone. Thank you for having me, and have an amazing Saturday. So lovely to talk to you, Soph.
See you, Tammy. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks, Tammy. Tammy Huynh. And for your chance to win it, just type into your search engine, Talkback Gardening Indoor Jungle, and you will come up with the terms and conditions of the photographic competition. But only one. We want one photo. We need your name, suburb, and phone number with your entry, and a description of 40 words or less as to why you love it. And the winner will get the plant book, The Ultimate Guide to Thriving Houseplants, and some back issues of ABC Gardening Australia and ABC Organic Gardener magazines. But we'll also have four runner-up prizes of back issues as well. So entries close Monday the 1st of December, one entry per person. Go online, as I said, type in Talkback Gardening Indoor Jungle, and that should bring up all the terms and conditions. So we're going to jump back into general Talkback Gardening next. Sophie, the number is 1-300-222-891. How many did you say you've got inside? Over 100. Sophie?
Absolutely. And I am addicted to them. And actually, the addiction's catching because one of my daughters loves her indoor plants too. They really transform your home and bring it to life.
Wonderful. Martha on the text line says, I have two of each indoor plants in plastic pots. One I keep inside in a decorative pot and one outside under my pergola. And I swap them every couple of months. So that way they're getting the benefit of being in and out. And a couple of texters have asked questions about indoor plants that we might pick up a little bit later in the program.
This is Talkback Gardening with Deb Tribe and Sophie Thompson
on 891 ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Good morning and welcome to Talkback Gardening. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning, Deb. Great day to be out in the garden.
It is, and great day to be indoors, inside, tending your indoor plants as well. Sophie and I have launched our indoor jungle photographic competition. And so if you have got one plant or a jungle of plants indoors, send us through one photograph. It has to be one with a description of 40 words of less as to why you love it or celebrate it. We need your name, suburb and phone number, and entries close on the 1st of December. If you want to find out all the terms and conditions, just type in Talkback Gardening Indoor Jungle and it will take you straight to the page there, and you need to email everything to Adelaide Weekends at abc.net.au. So because it's one photo, take a few and make sure you send in your best. Martin in Victor Harbour said, that last shower of rain has brought on my mystery rose, and it's a beautiful deep orange rose. I don't know if you would have any idea what that is, Soph.
No, I wouldn't. And I would definitely suggest that he gets in contact with the Rose Society of South Australia. I'm going to be seeing Gavin Woods shortly Pandana. But without a photo, definitely get in touch with the Rose Society. They're an amazing group of experts.
Okay, well, we'll see if we can get that photo to you, Sophie, but stay tuned for that. Now, Deb in North Adelaide is calling in, so we'd love to hear from you on 1300 222 891, any plant-related question that you have for Sophie or problem that you'd like some help in fixing. If you've got a comment to make, we love your comments on the text line 0467922891. I have a couple of ABC Gardening magazines to give away later in the program, one by text and one by phone. If you'd like to get ready for the text question, just make sure you put your full name and postal address. And then when we ask you to send it through, text us then. But let's go to Deb in North Adelaide with a mother-in-law's tongue. Hello, Deb.
Hello, Deb and Sophie. Yes, I've got a mother-in-law's tongue that I replanted recently. I bought some, I read that they were from the cactus family, so I bought some cactus potting mix, replanted them. Oh, mind you, I cut them down because they weren't very happy. And I was just putting in a light over them and noticed all these bugs came flying out of it, which made me realise that, oh, something's wrong. Maybe it's too wet at the bottom. Not sure. Just thrown it out onto the balcony because I'm sick of them flying around. But, yeah, discovered that it's the potting mix. Well, the bugs are in that plant. Any suggestions on what I should do besides throw it out?
Those little plants, those little bugs are a common problem with indoor plants, and they're called fungus gnats. And they're tiny little black flying things. And you've got a number of different options. If you go to a nursery or garden centre, they'll have these little yellow sticky traps. Now, they're non-drying glue, and you put them up inside and they're attracted to that, and that will drop their numbers. But ultimately, it means that the soil is too moist. So either, you know, you've got the plant standing in water, or the cactus potting mix is holding too much water. Even they are cactus, and they are a member of the succulent family, actually, cacti succulents. But ultimately, you know, no succulents really should be inside. So when we have plants inside, they become, we tend to overwater them. And something like a mother-in-law's tongue would really, really, really want to be watered. So I think if it was overwatered, that could be a problem. The other thing you can do is get something to top the soil. So if you've got moist soil on the top, they'll love it. But if you have something like fine gravel or even sand on the top, that will break their life cycle. And just putting them outside, if you've got a sort of a veranda or something like that, I think you'll find that you'll get rid of them. But there's a fabulous little segment that Jane Edmondson, the gorgeous Jane Edmondson from Gardening Australia, filmed, and it's been animated and it's really funny, and it's explaining why you get them and how to get rid of them. So if you look up Gardening Australia plus fungus gnat, now it's gnat with a silent G, so G-N-A-T. But, you know, ultimately, if you cover the top of the soil with something, if you have those sticky traps, if you reduce the watering, because it means that, there's moist soil that they can breathe in. It is common with all sorts of indoor plants, particularly if they're being overwatered or the soil is holding on to too much moisture.
Right. Because when I planted them, I just only did a tiny bit of watering, which obviously, because the cactus soil was so dry, just went straight to the bottom. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's where they possibly are then. Thanks, Sophie. I will do that.
Good luck
really
with that. They're a lot easier to get rid of than something like mealybugs. So don't worry about it. You'll solve them.
Thanks very much, Deb, for the call. Chook in Moana has sent through a beautiful picture of Mrs. Chook's lovely climbing rose and saying it will be inside soon. It's going great guns up one story as well. And Kathy from Colute says, Sophie had 8.6 millimetres of rain in Colute yesterday. That's fantastic. Really good to hear that. Lovely.
We had some rainfall out in the desert too. So it was really exciting. And ironically, I was still watering while it was raining because, you know, there's nothing better than if you know plants are dry, to make sure that you can, increase the way the water penetrates into the soil.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. I'm so glad to hear that, Sophie. Michelle is in Leabrook. Now, Michelle, we were staying on potted plants, although you can call in with any gardening question on 1300 222 891. You've got a potted Oxalis triangularis. Now, I've always think of oxalis as something really, really bad. Can you tell us about your plant, Michelle?
It's very pretty, Deb. If you Google it, the triangularis is a lovely purple leaf, like the shape of like butterfly wings almost. And I've had it in a pot in a sunny spot in our lounge room. It's the only window that gets a nice north sunlight. And I'm wondering if I should repot it, and do they like to be potted up a size, or do they like to be a bit more pot bound?
So I would pot it up, but just one pot on. Don't overpot them. Yes. And they are, oxalis is a family that can cause many gardeners to stress because, you know, we've got things like soursops, which is an oxalis. We've got creeping oxalis, which causes a nightmare. But this is the most beautiful, showy plant sold for indoors. So just only go up one size pot, and that would be perfect for it, Michelle. So enjoy that. They are very specky.
Yeah, they are lovely. I wonder if I cut it all back, because it's been inside for over 12 months, if I cut it all back and that would give the little bulb some more strength to sort of thicken up a bit or not?
No. I would simply just pot them on. And so are you going to keep it inside or are you going to have it outside?
No, I was planning on keeping it inside. If it went outside, just be under like a Alsonite pergola.
I wouldn't necessarily cut it off. I would tend to repot it and watch what the bulbs do. If they're happy there, what they'll do is they'll put new leaves up, and some of the old leaves might start to look a bit dowdy, then you can remove them when they look dowdy.
Yeah, I've just pulled a few off now, but it's getting a pretty little flower, and it's lovely. Lovely little weed.
Oh. Yeah, good to hear. And there are all sorts of other oxalis that are actually, you know, beautiful as pot plants. We don't want them to escape and cause, you know, problems, but this one won't.
Yeah, thank you.
Good on you.
Thanks, Michelle. And yes, you're right. I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and it is a very pretty plant indeed. Now, just coming back to some other questions that we've received about indoor plants, Sophie, that perhaps you might be able to answer. Do you have any tips? We've had several texts all on the same theme, that people aren't able to get outside very easily anymore with mobility issues. Mm-hmm. Are there any veggies or any foods that can be grown indoors?
Not really. I mean, I see they have little window kits where you can put basil and, you know, a few herbs on the windowsill, and they might be okay. But can I say the flavour of something grown inside will never be as good as the flavour of something grown outside, because, you know, it's those, the aromas and everything is always better out in natural sun. So if you can't get outside as easily but you've got a balcony, you know, I would be saying, okay, you can grow all sorts of plants on a balcony that would grow really well. You know, there's tiny little tomatoes that only get 30 centimetres by 30 centimetres, and they're amazing. There are basil and just some leafy greens could all grow in a window box really well.
That's great. Thank you very much, Sophie. Veronica is in Henley Beach and would like some advice in relation to psyllids in lily pillies. That sounds awful, Veronica.
Oh, it's fairly common, I think. Fairly common issue. Yes, I've got some standard lily pillies, topiaried, and I haven't been on top of, keep trimming them back and getting on top of them when we have a new growth of, you know, new leaves, which they love. So if I planted anything around them, would that help in terms of being natural predators?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Veronica. But first off, I want to say, just because you grow lily pillies doesn't mean you get psyllids. So some varieties are very sensitive and are prone to psyllids. But if someone's thinking of putting in a lily pilly hedge right now, make sure you ask for one that is psyllid resistant. Now, unfortunately, the ones they make the standards from are just the common old lily pilly, and that gets psyllids easily. So if you've got standards, you're probably going to have this as an ongoing problem. Now, many years ago, I was working in a nursery or garden centre, and someone came in complaining about these bugs crawling on her lily pilly. One of the staff went and had a look, and they were actually ladybird larvae. And I've got these amazing photos of the ladybird larvae gouging out the psyllids and eating them. So how do we attract ladybirds? It's back to that old thing of having daisies and umbels. So any plant with a daisy-like flower. So if you've got calendulas nearby or marguerite daisies or paper daisies, any sort of daisy nearby will attract ladybirds and hoverflies and lacewings, and all of those will help manage psyllids. Umbels are any umbel is a structure of a flower. So it's any flower that's got lots of little flowers from a central point. So even coriander or parsley qualify as an umbel. Chives qualify as an umbel. So what I would be saying is to near your standard lily pillies, have daisies and umbels, and they will bring in the beneficial bugs, and that'll be your natural biocontrol. The only other thing I want to add is, you know, Tammy talked about the fact that, you know, social media has made us want perfection. And, you know, ultimately, psyllids on a lily pilly is a cosmetic issue. It's not going to kill your plant. It's like acne for plants. Now, if our parents panicked every time we had acne and nuked us, half of us wouldn't exist, right? So ultimately, the psyllids, you know, if you can't manage it, just have that view, okay, darling, you're a teenager, you got acne, you'll get over it. It's not going to kill your plant.
It's a huge outbreak. And Success Ultra used to work, but I think I might not use that anymore.
So if you accidentally get a bee with that, you will kill the bee. So if you can try and plan your garden to bring in the beneficials, they make gardening easier. Ultimately, there's less work we have to do.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Veronica. 1-300-222-891 is the number to call, and the text line is 0467-922-891. You'll need them both because we're giving away some ABC Gardening magazines now, one by phone and one by text if you haven't won anything from the ABC in the last month. If you're sending a text through, please put your full name and postal address as well, 0467-922-891. Or call now on 1-300-222-891.
This is Talk Back Gardening with Deb Tribe and Sophie Thompson.
On 891, ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Anne of Piccadilly is living the life, Sophie. Morning coffee overlooking the Mount Lofty Botanical Gardens. Life couldn't get any better, she says. That's fantastic, Anne. Thanks for sending through that lovely picture. Linda is on the line from Sandy Creek. Now, Linda, you've got an issue with your lady palm inside. Good morning.
Oh, well,
not an issue.
Well, a happy issue.
Yeah. It's flowering.
How wonderful. Can I say, lady palms, for people that don't know them, they're called the Rafus palm. And while many palms inside, you know, they might not be particularly hardy, Rafus are incredibly hardy and really long-lived. And people have had them for 40-odd years in a pot. I just bought one for a friend this week for her patio area. And they're amazing. So well done to you. You've obviously got the right spot.
Oh, I'm really pleased with it. We used to live in Mount Barker and the house there was quite dark, so we couldn't have indoor plants. But where we are now, it's just amazing. We've got about 10 or more plants and they're all thriving inside.
It really does come down to the right room. But like Tammy said now, if you desire indoor plants, you can get a little strip grow light or, you know, a small grow light. Doesn't cost much to run and it can change the conditions of your plants. So fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to share that because I'm really pleased.
Yeah. if there was one, I mean, unfortunately, when you go to buy them, they're not cheap because they're slow growing, but they will survive. Whereas otherwise, you know, you can get cheap parlor palms and stuff like that, but they often don't live so long. Whereas lady palm, you know, will live forever if you've got the right position, and they're amazing plants. So good on you.
So, Linda, you know what you have to do. We have got our indoor jungle photographic competition. You need to type into your search engine, Talkback Gardening Indoor Jungle. Make sure that you follow the terms and conditions. Send the email to adelaideweekends@abc.net.au with a little descriptor, one photo only. Make it a good one and your lady palm might win. It's in flower. You never know.
That sounds good. I'll get on to that right away.
Thank you, Linda. Good lovely to you. Hear from you. And the message is the same to Di from the Eyre Peninsula, who sent through a picture of her messy corner. Di, I can see you've got a beautiful indoor. You're calling it a messy corner. I call it a gorgeous green corner. Make sure that you are a part of our competition as well, please. We would love you to do that. So just type into your search engine. It's easy. Just type in Talkback Gardening Indoor Jungle and it will take you to all of the information that you need to know. Congratulations to our telephone winner, Debbie from Murray Bridge, who has got the ABC Gardening Australia magazine. We'll tell you who the SMS winner is shortly. Let's head to Salisbury. Jane, you have got a couple of fruit trees that aren't flowering. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, that's right. I've been here 29 years and usually pear and the apple tree are completely covered in buds and you can hear the bees buzzing around and all the rest of it. They were here when I moved in and this is the first time ever that they haven't flowered at all. I don't know what's going on.
And there was nothing different in how they were treated last year?
No, I haven't done anything to them. Nothing out of the normal.
Did you water them last year?
They got watered in summer, yes.
Okay, because one of the things that the first thing that comes to mind is that, you know, last year was the driest year on record. And many people said, I watered things the same way I always did. Well, it wasn't enough last year. They needed extra.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure. The only other thing I'd be looking at is there more shade than there used to be? And is there root competition from big trees like gum trees or anything?
No, they don't have gum trees. Next door neighbour have got like an olive tree, but that's been there probably about five or 6 years and a few more trees going further away from that as well. And their trees didn't get watered at all.
So I'm not sure what caused that, Jane. You know, I would just put it down to a seasonal thing. I would definitely be feeding your trees and I would be watering this year and hope that next year they come back to flower. That's a bit weird. If you didn't, you know, if nothing changed with the pruning and everything else, I would just put it down to a seasonal thing. And what about your roses?
Yes, I've got a Mr. Lincoln and the other rose is a pink one. I don't know what its name is. They've been in there, a number of years. And they had their first flush, not very good at all. And now there's no buds, nothing. Lovely and green, healthy looking and all the rest of it. But and I've put on Blood and Bone and I also put on that, is it Black Marvel? I've done that every 4 to 6 weeks. Mainly more 6 weeks. So they've had two stints of that. And, nothing.
And they're being watered?
Yes, they have been watered. Yeah.
So I would be checking, you know, roses to flower well do need water, right? They will survive if we have a really dry year and we can see them growing on old abandoned farmhouses. They'll survive, but they won't repeat flower well. So I would actually be testing. I'd be digging down nearby to see how wet the soil is. And I think you might find that it's actually quite dry already. So I'd be picking up the water on those and just, be, you know, I'm not sure about north of Adelaide, but I know where I am. We had the driest year on record last year. We didn't have much rain this winter. I know there's parts of the Adelaide Hills that are almost, you know, underwater, but we didn't get much rain this winter. So the soil is very dry and therefore to get something to give you a summer flush of flowers, you definitely need to put the water on.
Okay, Jane, I hope that goes well. Congratulations to Karen in Millicent who won the other ABC Gardening magazine. Barbara is at Seaford with a fiddle leaf plant with brown spots on it. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. So it's about a metre and a half tall. I've had it inside and outside and the leaves just get brown, so I think maybe I'm overwatering it. So then I don't water it for a while. Can I chop the top off?
Oh, okay. So fiddle leaf figs are sort of like the citrus of the indoor plant They can have lots of problems if they're not happy. So ultimately, if it's got brown spots on the leaf, it could have dried out. It could be sun coming in on the leaf and them getting sunburned, or it could also be wet feet. So what I would be doing is finding a nice light room or a veranda that doesn't get direct sun, and I would be making sure that it doesn't have a saucer if it's outside, so you can water it regularly and let that water go through. So good luck with that. They're like Cinderella. They need just the perfect spot. And if you've got the perfect spot, they're amazing. And otherwise, they cause many people headaches.
Yes. Okay. Can I chop the top off and will it reshoot?
Because the leaves if it's got little off. Okay, so if it's got new nodes, it should reshoot. And many people have had to prune them because they've dropped all their leaves. And I would be trying to get that cutting that you take to strike as well.
Okay, thank you for your help. Thank you.
Good luck with that, Barbara. And definitely, you know, seaweed-based plant tonics, some soluble fertilizer too. All our indoor plants do need to be fed, so make sure that it's happy.
Lovely, Barbara. Thank you for all of your calls and texts this morning. Louise from Stirling, on your mentioning of planting umbels, says, oh, Lord, it's hard to be umble when you're perfect in every way. David in Cainton says, despite a dry season and constant watering, I'm halfway through enjoying my crop of broad beans direct from plant to pot, happy in the knowledge that they are chemical free and lovingly raised. Perhaps it's from my early British heritage that I love them so much and am frequently defending them from their sceptical detractors, my favourite bean. Thank you, David. Colette of Clearview says, peace lily are my plant Achilles' heels. They refuse to even survive in my house, but love being outside in my pergola gardens with too much water and sun, too cold, too hot, by flowering profusely. So I'm glad that's going well. And Josie at Montacute sent through a gorgeous picture of the biggest threat to her indoor plants, the cat called Fuggler, looking very happy by the window, says he seems to mistake them for his litter tray. I've tried commercial products as a deterrent to no avail. I've also used bird spikes, but he hovers above them. So a lot of people may have Fugglers in their life. But I can tell you, I'm getting lots and lots of pictures, Sophie, of people's beautiful indoor plants. Don't send them to me on the text line. You need to go to our indoor jungle plant competition. Just type those words into your search engine. Indoor jungle plant competition, only one picture, one photograph. So take a few, send your best in. It's only one entry per person. So let us know why you love that plant in 40 words or less. And you need to email it through to adelaideweekends@abc.net.au. You've got a couple of weeks. So if you want to get it into really good condition before you take the photograph, you're on notice. So be a part of that and you might win yourself one of five prize packs. The grand prize, of course, Tammy Huynh's lovely indoor plant book, How to Make Them Thrive Inside. And we've also got packs of back issues of ABC Gardening Australia and Organic Gardener magazine. Now, Sophie, you're on Pandana, about to head to the Pandana show, and you're looking at a Q&A session tomorrow at the Junction Community Centre. So, you know, you're back where you've been so many times since the fires.
I love it over here. So happy gardening to all our listeners and enjoy a lovely day in your garden or your indoor jungle.